This week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
I don't want the Red King to see what we're doing.
Why?
Doesn't know he won't approve.
Anastasia, you don't need anyone's approval. Whoever it was that made you feel this way, that you were somehow flawed or unworthy, you need to take that pain, the fear that they were right, and use it. It's the root of your power. Let it drive the magic and prove them all wrong!
Greetings from Wonderland. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is A Town Called Storybrooke. We also talk about ABC series Once Upon a Time. How you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm fantastic. And yourself?
I am doing just dandy, mostly because we have a really good episode to talk about this week.
Yay!
Which is a little unusual for Wonderland, but I think they're finding their voice.
It only took them about 9 or 10 episodes.
To get that rhythm going, just in time to be canceled, right?
Not canceled. It was a short,
yes,
ordered show.
It was a maxi series.
A maxi series?
Yeah.
I don't
maxi think... series, I think, is 12 or more parts.
Oh.
So.
Interesting.
So it makes sense. But we do have a guest this week. I'd like to welcome to the show Martine Schmidt, also at hot with two T's, Air Balloon on Twitter. How are you doing?
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I take it. You listen to the show, right?
Yeah, I've been listening for a while. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was actually because you got a hold of us. We put out a general call for guests on Twitter or on Facebook. And you responded over there, and then you wrote the email in, and then I saw your Twitter handle. I was like, oh, I know Hot Air Balloon. I followed her a couple months ago or a few months ago. So
yay.
We recognize you. Excellent. Okay.
Right.
Well, I guess we'll go ahead and get right into it. Anne-Marie, if you'd like to do the episode summary.
I don't know if I'd like to, but I will.
Do it.
Okay. Cora returns to inspire ambition. In the past, she conspires to make a queen a magician. Alice and Cyrus travel to a familiar town where a lamp is the villain that almost takes them down. Everyone's looking for Will Scarlet's heart, because without it, Jafar's spell can't start. Its presence brings love, a reveal, and a splatter. Ugh. It's all in this week's new episode, Heart of the Matter.
Yeah,
really? Splatter?
Well,
I know.
I'd assume a puncture wound would cause a bit of a splatter. we'll start with Martine. Martine, just overall, general impressions. What did you think of the episode?
It was probably one of my favorites. I wasn't too sure about... I know everybody really liked last week's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I preferred the one before, and this was probably the best of the season, I thought.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite episode of Wonderland by far. And I kind of got that a lot online, too, that people were just like going gaga over last week's episode. And I thought it was okay. It was a good episode for Wonderland.
Absolutely.
This one, you know, and I'll just go ahead and give my general impression here, too. But I thought it was as good as any episode or season 2 episode of Once, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
It was really, really strong. Anne-Marie, what were your general impressions?
I agree. I think that it was definitely the best of the season. I did like last week's episode, apparently a little more than you did. But I think this even trumped that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It was just strong.
The acting was on everybody's part, actually, was amazing.
Oh, definitely.
I didn't feel like I was watching cartoon characters, like bad cartoon characters.
Yeah, and there's one character in particular that I want to bring up a little later on in our discussion
I was shocked by.
go ahead.
One thing that me and Bill had been talking about earlier was that they obviously at about last week were filming those when the first ones were airing and they were getting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was such a drastic change in writing, acting, story, everything from the first half and then starting last week.
It was all addressing, you know, criticisms, not just that we've had, but other people in the fandom, like all the common criticisms, it seems they kind of shored up a little. Right.
Yeah, it's like, maybe they listen to people's podcasts and we know they read the Twitters because they respond frequently. So, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Right. Okay, so I guess we'll go ahead and get started into our main...
Right into it. Make it happen.
Yeah. So first of all, something that we've been waiting for since 5 minutes into episode one, we get back to Storybrooke, which, you know, I thought it was all really, really good stuff. But I know we got to see, Red's car in the background in one scene and everything. But I felt like we should have got a little bit more, like... touches into more familiar characters, familiar settings. Like Amory, I know you said earlier you thought maybe the Knave should have been living at Granny's.
Absolutely.
Just like in a house.
That's actually, like, I think your point and my point sort of go hand in hand. Like, I feel like it was almost a wasted trip to Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really would have liked it if more had mattered there. I mean, obviously they needed to get the Knave's heart and everything. You know, that was pretty essential to the plot. Mm-hmm. But it didn't seem to matter that it was Storybrooke.
No,
you know,
outside it could have been anywhere.
The fish out of water jokes. What do you think, Martine?
I think that was mainly just because, like, in Once Proper, you often have one kind of quest going across, like, a few episodes. But mm-hmm. obviously because it's, like, a shorter one, I do think they kind of had to make it shorter. So that's why it probably didn't feel that epic.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and it's... you know what? I just completely lost my train of thought. I hate when that happens.
I don't think... I was okay with the shortness of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt there needed more Storybrooke interactions.
Yeah,
like there was zero interaction with the residents.
Mm-hmm. Outside of a car almost hitting them. And no one even looked sideways at the big hole in the street.
Nobody was out. There was nobody. There was nobody in the street. Nothing. And then, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like, we had no way to tell where in the timeline we were. Obviously, we were before the end of the mid-season finale.
Right.
But past that, it was kind of hard to say, like, is Cora still there running around with Regina and Hook? I don't know.
Right. And I wanted the Knave to live at Granny's. I wanted it would have his apartment could okay it kind of looked like they were just like we need an apartment for the Knave. Does anybody have an office they're not using? That's what it looked like to me.
Martin, you were gonna say something.
One thing that got mentioned on Twitter I remember was that the car that drove past them when they just got out of the hole was Gold's car.
Because there were two cars that passed them. One was definitely Red's, loud music and a red finish. But the other one was Goldston. So that would definitely place it solidly in season two. Which I know when we came into the story in Storybrooke with the Knave and everything, that was supposed to be the first episode of season two. So I guess it's very possible that Cora could still be there. I mean, I know time works differently in different lands and everything. But we'll see. Martina, you had a point here you wanted to address? Because I think we kind of covered Anne-Marie's.
Yeah, we found them.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm so used to now from Once Proper is just that if you have somebody like on a quest, obviously their quest to get the heart back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like if it was in Once Proper, they would probably also have had the quest of getting the heart back, like Wills' heart back from Cora.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think they're not going to address in the next two episodes because it would have kind of fitted into this one rather than any other. So that's a bit disappointing, at least for me.
I think they kind of just addressed that in dialogue because we knew from earlier in the series that Alice somehow got him his heart back from Cora.
Right.
And it's just basically given lip service in this part of the thing. But I don't know at this point we're with such forward momentum and we're so close to the end that I don't know if they're going to give us a flashback on that. But I mean, who knows?
I don't want the flashback. Like, as much as I'd like to know the story, right now I'm actually engaged in the current story.
Yeah.
And I'd like to take advantage of that because I have been so disengaged with it for so long. Like, now I'm just really happy we chose to keep going with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's actually stuff to talk about.
They actually outdid themselves versus the mid-season finale, which was, you know, phenomenal.
Right.
And Martine, one more thing I wanted to address as far as your point, as far as, you know, like the quest and everything. Yeah, it's like Wonderland. It seems like there's the big overarching quest of stopping Jafar and getting Cyrus back and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, it's really a lot more episodic than Once Proper, because Once Proper, like, if they go on a quest, you're guaranteed 3 or 4 episodes dealing with that quest. With Alice in Wonderland, and this is part of the reason that we name all the episodes Alice versus something, it's pretty much one main, like, big conflict, and then they kind of make slow progression on the overarching plot.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty interesting. Okay, so people who've been listening to our commentaries on Wonderland, well, not commentaries, but, you know, episodes on Wonderland and everything, they probably know I haven't been a fan of Jafar at all. In fact, I've probably liked about 2 moments of him in the entire series up until this episode. This episode, Jafar was great. Like, if he had been this way throughout the entire series, I'd be really, really happy. He was dark. He was mysterious. And there were a few corny moments, like kind of mustache twirly, like big close zoom ups of him going like all spooky eyes. But even those were entertaining because they were fewer. They weren't every moment he was on screen.
Right. It wasn't that typical, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, almost dry and boring.
Yeah. I mean, I think I forget the actor's name off the top of my head. I know he's like big, especially for Lost fans like Martine, because I saw you were watching the Lost reunion right before you joined us, right?
Yeah, I did. It was really fun.
Excellent. Nice. Yeah. I've heard Naveen Andrews.
Sorry, I was helping you out.
Thank you. Thank you. But Naveen did a great job. Like, he had a lot of gravitas in this episode, which, you know, he really hasn't had. He's just been more kind of like a prop more than anything.
Right.
This one, he really kind of hit home. Anne-Marie, what did you think of Jafar?
I really liked it. And because, you know, we've sort of been on the same page with that, which is weird that we've agreed so much on anything.
I know, we never agree, right?
We really don't.
except on the fact that we never agree.
Awkward. No, I think like I said earlier, it feels like they actually took the feedback into account and used it well.
Yeah.
So just they made him less mustache twirly, as you say. And I don't know, you could feel emotion coming from him.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it was, is there was actually, like, the only other time I feel like we've had this type of emotion was in his backstory episode.
Yeah, and I think definitely, you know, because he was actually trying to accomplish something in this episode besides chasing down a MacGuffin.
Right.
He has the MacGuffin now, the genie bottle. And so now he's just really, really focused on getting that to work. So he has more of a goal dramatically now. And he's more willing to make certain characters expendable.
We'll say.
But Martine, what was your impression of Jafar in this episode?
Well, I also didn't like him in the previous episode, but I thought it was really interesting because you could see him getting really frustrated at the spell not working, and also, like, his comical one away with, like, the hard box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was just, like, fumbling all over himself.
I think it's just a bit better to have, like, a rounder character and have him with weaknesses and, like, really petty, like, frustration.
Right.
I think, you know, I still have mixed feelings on the Jabberwocky overall. I mean, I like the actress. I think she's doing a fine job with it. But I think Jafar having her to interact with is helping a lot, too, because for some reason him and the Red Queen just never really gelled for me as far as, like, kind of like a duo, a team. But which, I mean, I guess with, you know, the character progression with her in the past couple episodes, that makes sense.
Right.
But I think having someone as just ruthless and evil as him to interact with helps a lot, too.
There's more to interact off of. There's more to play off of for him.
Yeah, unfortunately, he doesn't have the staff to play off of anymore. Amber, you really had something you wanted to address with that.
That was fun. I loved it. I loved it because you, with seeing the eyes change in the staff when he tries to use it against Cyrus, I thought it was fantastic. And props to the music people. The score was great on that scene. I was like, I almost feel like the music's coming out of the staff. It just was so perfectly put together. But now I'm even more curious because now they know that it's Amara in this staff.
Yeah, I'm trying to. What was the thing the ring girl in the well said they needed?
They have to return the water.
So okay, they have to throw the staff back in the well, basically.
This is my question. I'm like, there's no way in blah, blah, blah that they are going to just throw the staff in the water. There's no way. Like, I don't
know. I'm sure they're probably going to try and find a better way.
I'm sure they're going to try and find a better way in two episodes.
Mm. Well, see, I researched the names and I found something really interesting. Like Jafar in Nuwaybek, that means water spring. So I was kind of questioning if that could fit in with like Nyx and they would just drop him in.
Oh. Yeah, that is really interesting. I wonder if the creators maybe, you know, when creating their version of Jafar, maybe they went through, saw that, and were like, well, maybe we should have like a Lady of the Water scenario for giving
and you
the
know
genies
what?
Their power.
Actually, sort of going with that, Jafar obviously is petrified of water because of the whole drowning thing.
Yes.
But the Knave even says that he's scared of water because he's like, I'll save you the time. I'm scared of water. I'm scared of this. I'm scared of raisins. I love grapes, but I hate raisins. So there's that.
I don't know if we have this later, but I feel we should bring it up right now. Look, isn't the Knave just awesome?
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's great. Yeah.
His acting was so good in this episode, and we might address it later, so I won't harp on it here.
Nope, you can harp.
Oh, I can harp? Okay, can harp. No, the transition when Korra pulled his heart out was just phenomenal. I mean, I know there were camera cuts, there were probably multiple takes, all that stuff, but just like the clearly defined him with the heart versus him with no heart.
Right, and it was, you could tell he was actually kind of being controlled by her a little bit too. And he just perfectly played that with making it look natural.
Yeah, it was like, you know, because he was, you know, fiery and passionate and trying to save everything. And then she pulls the heart out and he's just like, you know.
Yeah.
The kind of a bumbling along Knave we've seen the whole series. One thing, Amory, that you didn't address in your point here, I'm looking over your shoulder. But I was kind of wondering, too, why hasn't Jafar pulled the other two genies out of the bottles at all? I mean, they have actors cast as those genies, so it seems
like... Right, we know who they are now, so...
Unless, I don't know, I wonder if there could have been a switcheroo like we had with Cyrus with the other two. Maybe his brothers aren't in the bottles anymore.
See, I was kind of thinking that, too, but...
Yeah, because it seems almost like he would have pulled another one of them out that didn't have such a sordid history with him to kind of run troubleshooting or tech support for why the spell wasn't working, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels really weird that he hasn't pulled out the other genies. Because in a sense, if he hasn't summoned them, they don't belong to him. You know, like until somebody rubs the lamp.
Yeah.
And we get the whole mistress mine, thy will is thine.
See, I was kind of assuming that, whatchamacallit, that he had done that off screen or something.
I assume that as well, but I'm just saying we have no verification. Not a statement, not, you know, when this genie came out, they told me this, you know.
Yeah, I would like to mention before we move on to Martine's point, actually, that Martine, you can definitely feel free to steamroll over both and Emery. It's our show.
Keep talking.
Yeah, it's our show. So we just kind of push forward. But if you have something you want to jump in on, just interrupt us because we won't stop because we're conceited like that. But you had some points on say more of the mythology that kind of got fleshed out a little more in this episode.
Which point was that?
Oh, F.
You're
in
on
the
F.
Dog.
Okay. So I was looking a bit at how the hearts work.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it really weird that we kind of got a new rule about the Jabberwocky not being able to read the fear of the people who do not have a heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of fitted in with, like, that I found it quite weird that Will is still able to feel compassion for Anna, although he doesn't have a heart.
Yeah, that was something I was kind of curious about, too, because you could tell he cared.
Right.
But it wasn't the, I will rend myself kind of caring that we saw in the flashback this episode.
Yeah, because if I compare it to kind of Cora and Regina, she obviously just faked her interest in her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Will generally cares about Anna. So I don't know if it's actually just like a thing about a hero and a villain, so that a hero can actually, without a heart, still be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
If it's actually just the capability of the heart. So that's a bit confusing. See,
yeah, I kind of got the impression that it was something along the lines of just Will's such a good person underneath everything, like at his core, that even when he doesn't have his heart, he can't help but at least be, you know, kind and nice and, you know, at least kind of consider other people and their safety and happiness, right, and things like that. Like, he's selfless even without a heart, if that makes sense.
Right. No,
yeah, I think so too.
But
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
you had one other thing here, I think, right?
Yeah, so there was I was thinking a bit about why she actually took Will's heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was actually to be able to control the heart and control Will, or if it was about removing the heart so she can manipulate Anna and kind of get her to practice magic for her. And I think there's been like a few spoilers that might give a good indication of that, but...
Oh, well, we'll address those after the main conversation, yeah, possibly. I kind of took it too as you know, hearts are currency, and if you have the heart of somebody who the person you're trying to manipulate cares about, you have a lot of leverage over them.
Right.
But although I guess, you know, Anna she wasn't aware that Will had his heart taken out, right?
Not at all.
Until this episode. So right. I guess Cora never exercise that leverage, even
maybe
if
she didn't have the chance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but there's that.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about Will here and how he, you know, considers other people. Someone I also, I just got a really good impression of retaining their empathic abilities, their abilities to kind of feel what other people are feeling, is Cyrus. Because mm-hmm. one, he's like a master actor in the first scene in this episode, right? When he goes into the disco opium den.
That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like he was just, he was the exact kind of person who would go into a place like that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And although when they were fighting and Alice was shrunken, like, holding on to his boot, I was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're shuffling your feet around. You have a little insect on there. But it also, you know, in the Storybrooke scene, when he was talking to Alice, and he had Will's number down. Like, he knew that even without a heart, he still was concerned enough about Anastasia to go on this grand adventure with Alice. And it wasn't really a selfless kind of paying her back for finding his heart thing. It was more of a, oh, I should probably check in on her.
Right.
I think we're really only getting to know him now that he's freed from being a genie.
Oh, yeah. There was like a lot of pomp and circumstance on top of the character before the switch happened, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but really like Cyrus in this episode, though. He's becoming more less of an ideal character and more of like just like a real character. And it's interesting to see a being who's been alive for thousands or a hundred years. Yeah, I always keep thinking thousands just because genie, right? But, you know, that's been alive for that long. Kind of try and feel out mortality after right. so long. So pretty interesting. But, you know, we haven't really talked enough about Cora in this episode, because Cora was a huge, huge part of this episode and something we've really been looking forward to. But Amory, you had a couple things you wanted to discuss about her.
I think Cora killed the Red King.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but why? I want to know what their differences were. She didn't really get into it. And I was already confused by the part where, you know, they were like, oh, I'm so glad you could come for the weddings. Like, yes, me and the Red King don't really get along. I was surprised to be invited. Then why was she invited?
Or was she? Maybe she bribed the Tweedles.
Oh, no, she didn't bribe the Tweedles. She threatened the Tweedles' lives.
Yes. Yeah. That's
she doesn't bribe people. She threatens them. She takes their heart out, plays with it a little and gives it back. Okay, that makes sense. But why? Just because he didn't like magic?
Well, I think it was more a situation where she was projecting all of her hopes and dreams for Regina onto Anna or Anastasia. Just because, you know, she that kind of thing was closed off to her after, obviously, she got sent to Wonderland and everything.
Right.
That was kind of the impression I got, that she was just trying to find a surrogate daughter.
Yeah, but what did that have to do with him?
Well, I think, you know, in order, one of the big things I remember about her in the flashbacks with young Regina was that she wanted her daughter to have all the power. You know, she wanted her to have all the magic power. She wanted her to have the power of the royalty of the kingdom and everything. Yeah. So I think it was more about keeping Anastasia on the throne than it was about getting one over on Will or something.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think, Martine?
Well, I think she talked a bit about how Regina was a big disappointment to her. Mm-hmm. So I kind of think she was just pushed through the looking glass by her own daughter just before.
Yeah.
So I really do think that she's just looking for somebody to manipulate, kind of in that way. But yeah, the same with, like, going back to Will, just, like, getting his heart and kind of get more power, which I also think, obviously, with killing the Red King, so I do think it's just about, because I don't think she could actually manipulate him, so I think Anna is definitely easier to do that, and yeah.
Yeah, well, we might have got a little hint as to why it might have gone down too, as far as her killing the Red King. I just remembered it's mentioned that the king was bringing, like, you know, basically prostitutes or whatever through the secret tunnels underneath. So maybe it was a little case of jealousy too. Although, I mean, Anastasia kind of got with him not for love, but just for
power.
Love of power,
right?
Or whatever.
That was actually going to be my next thing, is like, how long were they even together for there to be all these women brought in for that whole discussion even?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it seems like, that he probably got killed fairly quickly.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it wasn't a great amount of time. Well, first of all, because they both age normally and they both looked, you know, pretty much the same.
Right.
Between the two. One point of continuity point I kind of wanted to bring up is wasn't Cora, when she was the Red Queen, wasn't she wearing like a dark mask?
She was wearing a veil.
Yeah, or a veil.
Something like that, yeah.
Or something like that. I wonder why she didn't have it on in this episode. Probably because they were paying Barbara Hershey.
Right. I think a veil is an indication of mourning, though.
Mm.
So perhaps that was not long after the king died.
That could be.
Because it would be a sign of respect.
Yeah, actually, I kind of like that idea. Yeah, another idea I had was that maybe she only wears that around, you know, the servants and the peasantry. But when she's out there in the world networking with other royals, she kind of loses it.
Yeah.
Well, it was a thought I had. Any thoughts on that, Martine?
I don't know. I think I remember from the books that, like, the whole court was kind of aping, like, really obvious, like, physical signs which are emphasized. So that's why he had, like, the large ears and the big nose and that kind of thing. So I think that veil was kind of mainly to hide something. But I'm not sure I really need to reread that.
Yeah, and it's one of the things too is that was obviously put there for the audience, so we didn't know who the character was,
right?
Too, so and that's not needed anymore because we all know who Cora was in Wonderland. But interesting nonetheless. And to close it off, Martine, you found a cool quote by Lewis Carroll. Carroll?
That's not the... Yeah.
I say Caro for some reason.
Rhymes
with marrow.
Oh, my.
But if you want to go ahead and close it out with that.
So it's about the confusion of the Red Queen and the Queen of Hearts, because they are obviously often confused.
Yes.
And he said, I picture to myself the Queen of Hearts as a sort of embodiment of ungovernable passion, a blind and aimless fury. The Red Queen I pictured as a fury, but of another type. Her passion must be cold and calm. She must be formal and strict, yet not unkindly. And that kind of reminded me of the scene where the Queen of Hearts was teaching her magic, because she really tried to get her to get angry about Anna's past and her mother disapproving of her life. So, and then, I don't know, like Anna's face when she actually got the candle to light, I do think she looked really cold and calm, and you could see her personality kind of changing. So I found that really interesting. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and you know what? I think the whole her passion must be cold and calm. I think that kind of speaks to the version of the character that we kind of disliked Anne Marie. First off, in the first several episodes of the season, before we kind of got the reveal that she was Will's ex-girlfriend and everything. Right. I know, but that's a really interesting quote, and I'm glad you brought up that scene between her and Cora there at the end when she was getting her first magic lesson.
Right.
Because I thought I forget the name, but the actress who plays the Red Queen did phenomenal in that scene. She matched Barbara Hershey.
Right, and Barbara Hershey's insane. Like, good insane.
Very good insane. You could tell Barbara Hershey felt maybe just a little bit out of her element because she wasn't interacting with maybe the actors she had been, you know, for Once Proper.
Right.
But she seemed just a little bit off. But, I mean, she was still fantastic because she's a total pro, right?
Yeah.
So how could she not be? Now, this is interesting.
What? What you got?
I have nothing. No, I'm kidding.
Nothing's interesting. Just kidding.
Martine took it upon herself to write a bit of
yes.
You know, I'm sure slightly inspired by our rhyming summaries, but she decided to go ahead and write a poem, basically summarizing the events of the episode. So I figured we'd have Anne Marie, since she's our rhyming reader.
Sorry, Martine, for how I'm going to butcher this.
But I have her go ahead and read it before we do the arbitrary scale.
Okay, well, this is my maiden voyage into reading this, so bear with me. In Underland broke out a fight. Cyrus fought with all his might. And Alice had been oh so slight. The compass, though, was worth the fright. Again we saw the Queen of Hearts. And so Anna's magic training starts. Learn how to use the darker arts while heart remained behind the darts. The Jabberwock was reading fears, a power that brings all to tears. After Storybrooke, Jafar appears, and Cyrus and his mom meet after years. Anna dies, and Will, he cries. Now let's all start the chatter on tonight's Heart of the Matter. Oh, I did so good till the end.
Well, see, it's always hard as someone who writes these every week, it's always hard to shoehorn the episode title.
Right.
There's someone to get it to, like, rhythmically flow. But that was awesome, Martin.
That was really good. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm sorry we saved it till the end.
That's fine.
We should have just swapped it out. Hold on. Anne-Marie, I think we should clap.
Yay!
Great job. Okay, so now, as everyone knows, we need to judge this by an arbitrary scale, right? So I'm just going to come up with something off the top of my head. I'm going to say, and we'll start with Martine. Martine, out of 14.5 shrunken Alices, how many shrunken Alices would you give this episode?
I think I would give it 13 of 14.5 shrunk analysis.
Why?
I really liked it. I really enjoyed that there were so many different scenes, so that we kind of had like flashbacks, and then we had Will alone, and and then Underland, and so it was just kind of really nice to see different parts of the story. And yeah, I think I really enjoyed the Red Queen this episode, and really got to like Jafar, and it was amazing to have Barbara Hershey back. So,
oh yeah, definitely.
I think it was nice to see Barbara Hershey interact with the other characters. Sort of the same way you said it seemed a little bit off. I think it was refreshing.
Yeah, it kind of almost gave us a whole, I mean, even if it was a practical thing of actors working with actors, whatever, it still gave us a kind of a different view on the core character, which was cool. Also, you know what? I'm going to hold off the arbitrary scale for like 3 seconds.
Why?
We never addressed the death of the Red Queen.
Oh my God.
Like, how heartbreaking was that?
I knew it was coming, but still, like, I didn't know specifically that it was coming, but I heard somebody died this week. And while it was the last 30 seconds, nobody died yet. So I saw that one coming. But it was so tragic because they basically had just fallen back in love.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing was, the first time I watched through it, I was a little sleepy, so I kind of dozed off at one or two points.
Of course, it was one point.
One of them was the big kiss with the swooping around camera right before she bought it, and that just added so much to it. Like, it was insane, because I really liked the episode before I realized I slept through two very important moments. But I super liked it after that. Martine, weigh in on that real quick before we finish up the rating.
Yeah, because I usually don't watch any of the trailers to kind of keep a bit spoiler free, although obviously Twitter just ruins everything. But yeah, so I watched it this episode, and obviously it said one is gonna die, so I was really freaked out. But then because I didn't like her previously, so I kind of thought she would die. But I'm still really unsure if that's actually going to happen, because that scene looked so weird to me.
Dead is dead. Sorry.
No, but there was like a flashing white light, and the scene just looked so surreal. And if there's no body, there's no corpse.
And, you know, when we get into the news here in a minute, I do have a thought on that, and I think some of our listeners might have written in about it too. But Anne-Marie, out of 14.5 shrunken Alice's, what would you give this episode?
I am going to give it 13.5 shrunken Alice's. I would give it a solid 14.25 shrunken Alice's, but I think their use of Storybrooke was almost insulting.
I think that's pretty much a universal sentiment. We didn't get the Storybrooke we needed. We just got the Storybrooke, as Jafar called it.
Storybrooke. Like, I think, and we didn't need a lot, but, you know, let's get a character out there to guide them to the house, to run into, like, you know, somebody you're walking.
Like you said, I was going to say, like you said, just have his house be at Granny's. You don't even have to have any actors on set. Maybe just go through one more familiar little scene, and that would have been enough, I think.
Right. Or, I don't know, have him living in the clock tower or something ridiculous. But I think I'm going to guess they did that so as to – bless you. I think that was a sneeze.
It was a cough, but that's okay.
It was a cough. But I think it was to avoid the timeline.
So they didn't have to address it?
Yep. I think not so they didn't have to address it, but I think so that they leave it open, or at least I'm hoping that they leave it open for whoever our please have a crossover character will be. At this point, I don't know who I want. But anyway, how many are you giving it?
You asked me again. I mean, I don't know how to process that, but I know exactly what I'm giving it. And this rating shocks even me.
Uh-oh.
Out of 14.5 shrunken Alice's.
Yes.
I'm giving this a 14.4.
Whoa.
I know. I am shocked as well. I never expected Wonderland to get that high on the arbitrary scale.
Whoa.
But, you know, as we've been discussing the entire episode, I even like Jafar in this episode, right, which was the scariest thing for me. And really, the only criticism is the one we've already brought up. Not enough Storybrooke, not enough reason for them to be in Storybrooke. Also, point of order, I also thought it was weird that they brought the heart back to Wonderland. Why didn't they go to, like, I don't know, Oz or Black and White World or somewhere where Jafar didn't know they were? But,
well, they had to get the heart in his body.
Well, they didn't have to get the heart in his body. I think the plan was for them to hide it so Jafar couldn't find it, right?
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Then that was dumb. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was dumb on their part.
That was dumb.
And what also, do you expect?
Oh, go ahead.
Also, why was, like, the clock tower when they just sprung out of the road? Was it 9:25?
I didn't,
it just got me really angry. I was like, no, it's supposed to be 8:15.
Yeah, and then we get into timelines and everything. It's just before or after. And they just need to come out with an official timeline of the Once Universe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
you know what? Until they do, I guess we should move on to the news. News. Okay, first up ratings. Not great.
So sad. I can't believe it.
I know, but it tied for last week's series low of 0.8 in adults 18.
But last week wasn't a series low, was it? I thought last week was a series high. I think we may have a typo.
No, okay, that was straight from tvbythenumbers.zaptoit.com, where we usually get our ratings.
And which, by the way, you can find the link. We have a typo.
Well, I think our listeners should go to the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com, where they can find links to all this stuff, and then really take it to Zap to it if they're wrong, because that's wrong. But unfortunately, not as great as it could be. But again, the ratings really don't matter so much at this point, because we're getting the last couple episodes anyway. So
right.
Not too big of a deal. Not too big of a deal. Now we'll go ahead and we'll also have a link to the promo for next week up there. And it's pretty interesting. We have Jafar basically saying to Will, we can change the rules of magic, right? She doesn't have to die, which I find very interesting. And also gives me some hope now that I've really started to like her as an actress, that we'll get a little more Red Queen in our lives, you know?
Right.
But we get that, and then they're kind of mounting a defense, but then it seems like Will might be turning on them. Jafar's force choking Will. There's a knife to a throat. It's insanity, folks. I think from this point, we're full steam ahead into the conclusion of this story. So I think things are going to get pretty intense. I'm almost kind of hoping for a Hamlet type ending where we get, you know, in just one scene at the end, every character dies except that one crossover character over into the main series, which we're hoping happens.
There has to be a crossover character.
I still say my money's on the Knave.
Absolutely.
Just because he's the fan favorite. He's the one with the most street cred in the acting game, with the most chops. He seems to make the most sense.
Yeah.
But we'll see. She'll see.
I would like to correct you.
Okay, go ahead.
Just based on numbers solely, they had 3.51 million viewers this week. Last week was 3.22. They had the same share as last week.
Yeah.
Like the same ratings and share, but they did have more viewers.
This week. Okay. Well, that's good. That's
actually
of some kind.
Yeah, you know, 300,000 people. So, it's better than the last half of the last half season.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it leans towards steady up.
So I think they were framing it negatively.
Right.
Around there. Because generally what we do with these is I go over there and I just pull when they were talking about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland and I paste it over here to read.
Right.
But you guys don't care about that, right? You guys care about hearing from yourselves.
I personally care a little about that, but that's just me.
I like hearing from themselves
as well, though.
Obviously we do, but they like hearing what their thoughts were on the episodes. And you can do that by emailing us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GF Storybrooke. You can head up to the Facebook, which is always a wellspring of conversations where we found Martine, yay, or where she got a hold of us, at facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And you can leave a voicemail, or, and we don't promote this enough, or you can send in an MP3 or something to our email address, but you can call in and leave a voicemail, 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Now, if you're listening to this in the future, that might be changing because I heard Google Voice is integrating with Hangouts.
Right. And,
yeah, so I'm not sure if we might need to get a new voicemail number. But for now, 424-274-2352. And first up, we have a voicemail from Bobby from Bradenton.
Bobby.
Hear from you every week, except last week on Once Proper Podcast, because you sent it in as we were recording the podcast. But go ahead and take it away, Bobby.
Hey, Bill Ann. Bobby from Bradenton here. Well, here's the big crossover everyone was looking forward to, and I've got to say, I was kind of hoping for more. It was great to see Cora, and I like how her storyline played out. It kind of seems as though she's using Anna as a surrogate daughter now that Regina has rejected her. And I was excited to finally see Storybrooke on the show, and maybe even interact with some characters, but that's where it fell flat, because there was nothing or anyone there that made it feel like Storybrooke. It just felt like any modern town USA. Although it was nice to see how Alice and Cyrus would react to the modern world. I know this is a magic land, but it was a bit leap too far to see Cyrus just so quickly say, oh, I think the staff is my mom. I wish they could have had, like, a throwaway line that just said, like, oh, I think the staff said something to me, or I felt something when I grabbed the staff, or something, for him to just make the illogical leap that it's his mom just seemed a bit too far. I guess that's why I'm glad that they're finally taking the focus off of, at least for now, Alice and Cyrus and putting it on Anna and Will, because it seems they're the stronger characters, and I can't wait to see what Will does now that he has a heart and seems to be working with Jafar to do what he can to get Anna back.
Thanks, Bobby.
Bobby!
We always love hearing from you. And yeah, I think in general, like, my main complaint with the Red Queen character is that she just gives in. She seems to give in a little too easy, and versus even, you know, a couple weeks ago or, you know, earlier in the series or whatever, she just seemed, before she got shanked in this episode, to kind of she kind of gave up. Like, yeah. she was kind of, it was almost like, and I don't want this to come off the wrong way because this is going to sound really cruel, but I was almost glad to see her get killed. Just because you could see that the character was at a point where it couldn't progress any further, right? Yeah. And at that point, she became kind of a means to an end for the other characters and the plot to play out. But, I mean, again, based on what we saw in the preview, that could be changing next week. She could be back up on her feet by the end of next episode.
She could be dancing right after the credits.
Definitely. Okay. Emery, you want to read this letter we got from Hope?
All right. This one is from Hope.
Hope Mullinex, who writes in all the time. We've had some special episodes with her. Love her. She's a great fan of the show.
Just a few quick points about this week's Wonderland. I liked the episode, but last week was still my favorite. Alice and Cyrus and Storybrooke was my favorite part. I need an entire episode of Alice, Cyrus, and Hope trying to figure out the modern world. Though something jumped out at me. How often does Rabbit come to our world? He knew what electricity was and how to explain it. That seems odd to me.
I also kind of wonder how many other worlds have electricity.
Oh,
like that's true. Seems like Oz might, because, you know, they're, yeah, because of the wizard. And everything.
Interesting.
Such a land without magic has at least some.
Oh, that's right.
Technology. Yeah.
I really like that line though, where he was like, "Yeah, it's an invisible energy that can turn darkness into light." And,
yeah.
You know, all this stuff, and she was like, "That's not magic."
I know he's been hanging around with Frankenstein a bit too much.
Acting wise, this was Michael Soja's best week. Will had a huge range of emotions to play out, from sassy, uncaring, heartless Nate to Will screaming and fighting through the bars trying to save Anna. Mm-hmm. He was amazing this week.
Oh, yeah, definitely highlighted the episode.
Absolutely. I was so happy to see Barbara Hershey again. I always loved to hate Cora. Killing her off so early in season two never seemed like a great idea. She was such a powerhouse that Greg and Tamara could never fill the void. Just imagine what she'd have done to them. Like, they'd have lasted like half an episode.
They wouldn't have made it to Neverland. That's for darn sure. Also,
yeah, there's no way. If Pan's shadow could travel realms, I always wanted Pan and Cora to team up. I think Rumblewolf had a conniption with his ex and dad working together. I loved seeing her corrupt Anna, and I wish there could have been more of her in Wonderland. Have a great week. Thank you, Hope.
Thank you, Hope. And yeah, I Hope sent in a few more points than that, but I other writers inners is the proper term is had covered them or whatever. So I cut a couple, but I kept all the really important ones. Also, something that we should probably just touch on just briefly is I know that Hope had said last week that last week's episode, she was really one of those people who were really enamored with last week's episode of Wonderland. She said that it was better than any episode of Once Proper, which Hope, you know, we love you.
Well, we completely disagree.
Yeah, I think that might have been a little overstating it, but agree to disagree and no hard feelings. Or anything like, and I mean that, no hard feelings from you towards us for disagreeing.
That's right. Gosh darn it.
But also about Cora, is she actually always carrying around bags to keep hearts in?
Yes.
She just had that ready to put the Will's heart in. Like,
but she knew what she was going to go there for.
You're definitely considered a villain if you carry around heart bags.
She has a bag of holding or something.
Okay, our next letter is from Elizabeth Swan. Hey, guys. Wow, I loved this episode. It was amazing. In my opinion, best episode of the series. I said that last week, too. It's nice that the episodes are getting progressively better. Agreed. Poor Will. To finally get his heart back and realizing Anastasia did love him and then losing her all over again. I felt so bad for him. Michael Searcher's acting this week with 5 out of 5 stars. Even Alice wasn't so whiny this episode. Yes, I may not have mentioned it, but yes, I didn't want to throw Alice against a wall this week. So good job. Storybrooke, Cyrus, and Alice was hilarious. Lights on, lights off, lights on, lights off. Cyrus's bar fight was really nice. It's fun to see him getting his hands dirty and being cheeky when he refused to pay for the drink he stole. Also, Cora! I hate her so much, but I love her too. I'm conflicted.
I would just like to mention that really loud Cora that Anne-Marie just did, she was representing like 8 exclamation points there.
And all caps, and I feel like it should have been bolded.
Anything, you could have gone louder.
That's the only way I could go louder, yes. I missed Barbara Hershey on my TV. She is absolutely amazing in all that she does. Also, is fire making the first chapter of the magic curriculum? It's the first thing Cora taught Anastasia and Regina taught Emma. Interesting.
That is true. I guess that, yeah, that's probably like the primer. Intro. Like, yeah, you have to write the alphabet before you can learn to read sort of thing.
Interesting. So I guess I have to talk about Anastasia's death. Good, because we almost forgot it. All I can say is rip my heart out and put it in a blender. It was so sad. And also one of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland's best written scenes. Yes. Mm. Yes.
I would say versus best written, I would say best directed.
And acted.
Yeah, best directed and best acted. Like, because, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, dialogue or anything in that scene. I think a lot of the power of that scene probably had to do with the director and the, right, you know, cinematographer and stuff like that.
I think Jafar is going to use grief-stricken Will to his advantage by saying that if Will dies... does this for him, he will be able to revive Anastasia. I do believe Anastasia's coming back. Her name even quite literally means resurrection. So yeah, Will and Anna, I ship it. So out of 49 caterpillars high on opium, I give this episode 48.75 caterpillars high on opium. Elizabeth. P.S. If this was a Once Proper episode, I think it would be an above average episode, kind of like season 2's episodes The Queen is Dead or Lacey. I disagree on Lacey, but P.P.S. I think this podcast episode should be called Alice versus the Refrigerator or Alice versus Electricity.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. And I guess, you know, you'll have to download this episode to find out.
Which you should already know, because if you've gotten to this point.
Yes, we called the episode Alice versus the Refrigerator. So
also, I did this box.
Also, I came this close to stealing your scale because Anne-Marie showed it to me because she was so entertained by it when she was going through all the letters. And I was so close, but I was like, no, I can't intentionally rip off one of our listeners. But you want to go ahead and read this next one from Isabel? And thank you very much, Elizabeth.
Swan! Bill and Anne-Marie, Wonderland was so much more gravitas?
Has so much more gravitas.
Oh, see, maybe you should have read this one. When it's got a significant guest character from the main show, don't it? Loved seeing Cora and lots of explicit and implicit callbacks to her relationships with Regina and Rumpel. The mythology has really expanded what living without a heart practically means, practically speaking, means in terms of one's desires, etc. Cora is massively projecting the entire episode, possibly even more than she did on Regina.
Here, Anne-Marie, I'll take over on this one.
Thank you, I'm dying.
Anastasia and Will's situation parallels Rumpel and Cora's pretty neatly, right down to the meet me in the woods the night before your wedding bit. Did it feel to anyone else that even though she can't love anymore, Cora kind of intellectually remembers what it feels like? Yeah, I could see that. Definitely. The entire episode felt as though she was trying to justify her choice to ditch everyone's favorite sparkly disco lizard.
Wow.
I like that.
Disco lizard. We're going to have to use that.
The disco lizard should go down to the disco opium den for sure.
He'd enjoy that. Get him out of his cage.
Yeah, better than. Speaking of, did you guys notice the white rabbit notice the bar?
Yes. They
kind of get defensive about it almost.
It's like, huh.
That was funny. I even got the sense that she felt a need or a kind of detached pity for Will over his broken heart. I always enjoyed Cora and Rumpel's bad romance. So it's possible I'm reading into it, but whatever. Bad romance. Sorry.
Wow.
I was trying to remember what the melody was as I was doing it. It was rough. In any case, it was a strong part for her and not a waste of a guest role in the episode. Unlike showing Storybrooke and not having a single cameo outside of Ruby's car. Isabel. Thank you, Isabel. And yeah, that's a huge criticism, I think, across the board is it didn't need to be Storybrooke, so why was it Storybrooke, you know?
Right.
But what you gonna do? And Anne-Marie, you want to close out for the long ones? We have a couple little ones from
reading
Facebook.
Anne-Marie.
Yeah. Okay. Anne-Marie, read Anne-Marie. Obviously, Anne-Marie has been a guest on this show before, full disclosure.
All right. Loved this episode. And dare I say it, better than last one's proper episode. No, you do not dare say it. The show is heating up for a big show finale, and you can tell. I noted down a few points. When I looked at the spellbook Jafar is using, it appears he is reading Arabic. However, he is speaking in Latin performing the spells. I found this really interesting. Agreed, because I didn't notice till you pointed it out. Cora
maybe,
is
maybe the gods who fuel the spells only understand Latin, but he was reading it in Arabic.
Nice. Cora is making an appearance, and Barbara Hershey did not disappoint. She was amazing. I wonder which daughter she is talking about when she said she was disappointed, Regina or Zelina. And Cora taught Anna magic. Just a great backstory.
Yeah, on the off chance that no one's watching or someone's not watching One's Proper but watching Wonderland, it was revealed this past week that the Wicked Witch is supposedly, I still have my doubts even with actor interviews and everything, that Zelina, the Wicked Witch, is Regina's half-sister, Cora's daughter. I have my doubts.
I completely doubt it.
Yeah, same. I don't believe she is, but...
No, otherwise they wouldn't have made such a big deal of showing the blood. But anyway, other shows.
Yeah, I was going to throw in with a couple points on that, but I realized, no, we're in Wonderland.
We're in Wonderland right now. So. At first, I thought Jafar couldn't unleash the genies because Knave is not a brother. Oh. But in the end, it may be because of his heart, although it is not yet finished, so I could still be right. I do love it that the Jabberwocky couldn't feel fear in Will. She was so confused. She just seemed bored with the entire episode. Will had quite a nice place in Storybrooke, and I enjoyed some of the lines in those scenes. Fell off a truck. funny.
Oh yeah, the whole
fall off the track. It's a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech.
The whole what? We probably compromised 5 or 6 minutes of the episode, but the whole fish out of water issue in Storybrooke was really entertaining. I just wish, you know, as everyone does, it had been more about Storybrooke and not about people from Victorian England coming to modern day world.
Right. That's also quite funny that now he's stealing for himself rather than being, because he was always kind of like the outsider with the merrymen.
Right.
He was always kind of not getting their point of actually stealing and giving to poorer people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that he's still doing the same thing in Storybrooke and just keeping stuff for himself.
Yeah. He's trying to fill the void. They were in Sherwood before Wonderland, not the Enchanted Forest. Interesting. I guess I should have known since Will was one of the merry men.
See, but I think
Sherwood is like a neighborhood within the Enchanted Forest.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's like the subdivision down the street or whatever.
Right, right. You know? Because we have all these different kings and queens and castles and kingdoms.
And Lancelot and
right.
all this other stuff. Right.
When Jafar was fighting to get the heart, the score in the background sounded like the music from the Disney version of Aladdin. Oh, and I thought that was a great detail. See, I got to talk the kids into watching it tomorrow. last but certainly not least, I did not see the killing of Anna coming, killing her off 2 episodes before the end. Amazing. Out of 16 failed attempts to unleash the genies, I give 15 and 2 out of 3 bottles. Anne Marie,
you can't have 2 arbitrary scales. You're kicked out of here. You're done.
She didn't have 2 arbitrary scales.
Yes, she did. She
was giving it 15 attempts and 2 of the bottles.
Okay, so it was one combined arbitrary scale.
It was like a point.
So okay. It's 2 variables with one scale. Okay, yes. I'll allow it. Anne-Marie, you're safe. You can stay. Anne-Marie, my co-host. you can stay as well. And we'll wrap it up with a couple comments from our Facebook post about this episode. Again, facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. We always post there right after the episode. We love to hear your comments. Victoria said, I love the episode. Was so sad at the ending. I like Anna and Will way better than Alice and Cyrus, which I think, again, is a common point among a lot of people. Rachel says, I guess this is how Jafar will get the genies to help him change the laws of magic, one of which is you can't bring back the dead. And, you know, as we saw in the promo for next week, looks pretty likely he's going to be taking that tact.
Yeah.
And
I haven't watched the promo for next week, but do you think it would be possible for Jafar and the Queen of Hearts to actually join forces? Because I've been really looking forward to them, like the two of them, because they used to be like an item.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be really fun to have the two acting together again.
See, I don't know. Literally stabbing someone in the back, it's kind of hard to rebound from that. It's kind of hard to patch up that hole in the relationship, I guess. But yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, anything could happen, and she still has a small motivation, I guess, for changing the rules of magic.
Did I say duet queen? I meant a Queen of Hearts.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He used to be with Barbara Hershey.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You said the Red Queen. I heard the Red Queen. Who knows what you said? It's way in the past. There's no way to tell. But yeah, that would be interesting too. And I kind of feel like we're almost due or we deserve another Barbara Hershey scene before this is all over with, right?
Right, but I know she was only committed to 1 episode. So
but maybe they had her shoot 1 extra scene while she was there in the studio that day, you know?
Very possible.
I guess we'll see. And finally, to wrap it all up, Aaron wrote, I thought it was heartbreaking, and I hope things get better in the next episode. I actually hope things get worse and they get better in the next episode following that.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's the
first. I know.
But again, you can, you know, when the episode's done airing, run to your computer.
Here we go again with the running.
I know. It's important.
They're going
to
hurt themselves.
But the thing is, that gets the blood pumping, that gets it flowing, so you write really interesting emails, which you can send in to greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GFStorybrooke. You can hit up the Facebook, Facebook.com, not Facebook. facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And you can leave us a voicemail, which we pretty much always play unless reasons.
Weird happens.
Yeah, at 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Now, Martine, where can people find you online?
Mainly just on Twitter, at Hot Air Balloon with, well,
that's with
double
two T's. Yeah, yeah. Hot. And Anne-Marie, what are you up to these days?
You can find me on the Twitters at AMDSimone. I have also been working very actively trying to revamp ye olde blog, crunchycraftyandhighlycaffeinated.wordpress.com.
Yeah, and so I saw your most recent...
Please let me know what you think. I do appreciate all feedback.
I was just going to say, I went there this week and checked out your latest post. It was pretty good once you got an editor involved.
Oh, hush your face. I was writing it on my lunch break.
Yeah, I was the editor.
He assigned himself that position. He was not asked.
And you can find me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. My Google Plus is google.com/plusbillmeeks. And I write... books, I guess, about superheroes, I guess, that are like 13 years old, I guess. And it's at dogboyadventures.com. You can check that out.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what? This is a rarity. There was a good episode of Wonderland, and we went extra long on the episode.
No.
Generally, when there's a good episode of Wonderland, it's short. It's like 40 minutes. We went an hour and 10 minutes.
Hola.
That is phenomenal.
I like it.
Yeah,
that's because we had an amazing guest.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you, Martine.
Yeah, thank you again, Martine, for joining us. And, you know, I guess until next week, greetings from Wonderbrook Stand. Wonder the Stand King. By Stephen King.
Wow.